Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath. Beautiful song, wasn't it? Keep that in mind because it's about someone that we truly love, and that's Jesus, right? He died for us to set us free. And the story that I'm talking about today is Mary Magdalene. Magdalene met Jesus, and it changed her life tremendously. She saw the love of Jesus, and she wanted to do whatever she could to be near him, be at his feet, and learn of his words. She could do all she could to be near the one that saved her from the sin of this world. And in this story I'm going to talk about today, you know, Jesus stood up and read in the temple. I don't like to use a lot of my own words. I like to use scripture only. And basically it's going to be a story of a woman who met Jesus. And then in the process of meeting Jesus, her life became changed. She wanted to be at his feet, but things happened along her way and things changed. And you'll see it in the story. And you'll probably understand it more when we get through with the story. Now, you know Jesus did many miracles. And he healed the sick and the blind and the lame and even raised the dead. And the religious leaders tried to stone Jesus and kill him because he healed people on the Sabbath and he claimed to be the Son of God. I'd like to have you turn to our first scripture reading. It's taken from John chapter 8. Starting in verse 1. Now Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and they had sent her in the midst. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commands as such should be stoned. What do you say?" They said this to test him, that they might have something to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he didn't hear. So they continued asking him. He raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Again he stooped down and wrote in the ground. And those that heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the women stand in the midst. Then Jesus had raised himself up and saw that no one but the woman. He said to her, "Woman, where are those accused of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No, Lord, no one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." One of the first questions you probably want to ask is, if she was caught in adultery, where is the man in this story? It takes two to tangle, right? And we know that religious leaders was trying to trap Jesus because they wanted to do a stoning that day. Jesus was writing down on the dust of that temple floor the greed, the pride, the lying, evil thoughts, covetousness. These are some of the things that these leaders had in their mind. Jesus knew the Moses law because he wrote it. He's the one that gave it. Jesus said to those that he was talking to, "He who is without sin among you, let him cast and throw the first stone at her." In 1 Kings 8:46, "For there is no one that does not sin." So Jesus turned the guilt of the sin back to the religious leaders, and they left. Now Jesus and the woman was left alone, and Jesus asked the woman, "Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go sin no more." Let's go back a few pages in John chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And as this is Jesus speaking, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he that does not believe in him is condemned already, because he does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If we don't believe in Jesus and have the faith of Jesus, we are already condemned. Jesus came to this world not to condemn the world, but to save it. But we have to understand Jesus does not condone sin either. Now, Jesus asked the woman, go and sin no more. Is Jesus asking us to be sinless? The answer is yes. Jesus could never say anything less. Sin is a disease that is killing us and this woman. What could you expect him to say? Go and sin a little less? Or say to the woman, cut back on your life of prostitution? Jesus did not come to save us in our sin. He came to save us from our sins. Amen. Now, in 1 John 4:4, it says, who abides in you is greater than he is in the world. Jesus, if he's in your heart, he's greater than Satan who is in the world. John 3:6, he who ever abides in him does not sin. And then 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So if we sin, there is hope for you and I, because Jesus has made it possible for us to be forgiven. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise that is, isn't it? Now, Jesus is going to talk about what happens to a person when unclean spirits leave a person. And let's go to Matthew 12 and see what Jesus had to say. Matthew 12, starting in verse 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through a dry place, seeking rest, and find none. Then he says, I'll return to my house, which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And then they enter that dwelling. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So it shall be with this wicked generation. When a person comes to know the Lord, and then turns away, and the evil spirit comes in and finds it empty and swept because we haven't filled it with God's word, then those wicked spirits come and take over ourself again. Now, in Luke 8, let's go there. We're going to find out who this woman is, if you are kind of curious who that is. Luke 8. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now it came to pass afterwards that he, Jesus, went through every city and village, preaching and bringing glad tidings to the kingdom of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. A certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom he had come seven demons. So we find that this woman that we were talking about is Mary Magdalene. Now, Let's go to Luke 10, just a few more chapters over. And we're going to find out what Jesus has to say about Mary. Chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she and her sister called Mary, who was also sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing his words. That's important to understand, his words. But Martha was distracted by much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister had left me alone, serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And then Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but the one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her." Jesus is telling Martha that Mary is doing a good thing by spending time listening to him speaking of the life, because he is the truth in life. Now in Philippians 4:8, it says, "Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things." And this is what Mary was doing. She was meditating on Jesus and his word. It's the only way to keep us safe from the evil one. Now, Jesus spoke of many things. And he spoke to his disciples about his coming death. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31, Mark chapter 8, 31, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, to be killed, and after 3 days rise again." He spoke these words openly, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Then when he had called his people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whosoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what he shall gain in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the clouds of glory of his Father and the holy angels." And he said to him, "As surely I say to you, there are some here standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God present and in power." So we see that if you're going to be following Christ, you got to deny yourself the things of this earth, dead to sin. Now in Matthew, let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Starting in verse 6, this is about Jesus meeting this woman, which we know as Mary Magdalene. "And when Jesus was in Bethany at a house of Simon the leper, a woman came having an alabaster flakes of a very costly oil, fragrant oil, and poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when the disciples saw this, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Why did you trouble this woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you always have the poor with you always, but me you do not always have always. For in pouring the fragrant oil on my body, she did do it for my burial. Surely I say to you, whenever this gospel is preached into this world, that this woman has done will be also be told as a remembrance of her. I was thinking how many times the gospel is preached and never ever heard her name mentioned of what she did. It just shows that her loving sacrifice that she had for her Lord. Now let's go to another disciple who has another account of how this took place. In Luke 7, in verse 36, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster basket, flakes of fragrant oil, and stood at the feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he was a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman that is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said to him, Teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other one 50. And when they had nothing to repay, he freely forgave both of them. Tell me, therefore, which of them loved him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who forgave more. Yeah. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered the house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she's been washing my feet with the tears of her and wiping them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I came in. You have not anointed my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loves much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same love little. Then he said to her, your sins has forgiven. And those that were sitting at the table with him began to say to himself, who is this that can forgive sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now let's go back to John chapter 11. And this is a story we all know, but it has an important influence on Mary. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 11 of John. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus, of Bethany, a town of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the Mary who anointed the Lord with the fragrant oil and wiped the feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent him, saying, Lord, behold, the one who love is sick. Then Jesus heard that. He said, this is a sickness not unto death, but of the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Mary and the sister and Lazarus. So when he had heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in that place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judah again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews have sought to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus answered, there are 12 hours in a day, and if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he has the light of this world. But if he walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after he had said them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then the disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about his rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go, and we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he was already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women and Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus had come, went to meet him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you asked of God, he'll give it to you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last days." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and life. Who believes in me, though they may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Son, you are the Christ, the Son of God, whom came into this world." Interesting note. We can come in this world, we can be born once and die twice. Or we can be born twice and die once. In this case, he died twice. So that's just a thought I thought about and share with you. And verse 28, "And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary her sister, saying, 'The teacher has come and is calling for you.' As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet in the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, comforting her, when they saw Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, 'She is going to the tomb to weep there.' When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' And they said, 'Come and see.' Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him?' And some of them said, 'Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind could also kept this man from dying?' Then Jesus, again a groan in himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone was laid against it. And Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of whom who has died, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days.' And Jesus said to her, 'Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?' Then they took away the stone and from the place where the dead man laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you for you have heard me. I know you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said these things that they might believe that you sent me.' Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to loosen them and let him go. Many of the Jews who came to Mary had seen the things that Jesus did, believed in him." It's an interesting note here that the people that Jesus raised up only died for a few hours. And there was many speculations that the ones that he raised never did or died. And so Jesus waited 4 days to prove that he had power to raise the dead. And it gives us hope that no matter what happens to our bodies, he has promised to resurrect us in the last days into his glorious body. Now, Matthew 27, we're going to find that Mary was there at the crucifixion. Matthew 27, starting in verse 41. "Likewise, the chief priests also mocked with the scribes and the elders, saying, 'He saved others, himself cannot save. If he is the king of the Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we'll believe in him.' He trusted God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same things. Now at the sixth hour until about the ninth hour, darkness was over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? This is my God, why they have forsaken me. Some of those who were standing by heard that, what he said, and this man must be calling Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with a sour wine and put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come and save him. Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn too from top to bottom. And there was earthquakes, and the rocks split open. And the graves of were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were risen. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurions and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many of the women who followed Jesus from Galilee ministered to him were there looking on from afar. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary mother of James and Joseph, Josie, the mother of Zebedee's son. Now when evening had come, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. When Pilate commanded the body to be given to him, when Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth, he laid it in a new tomb that was hewn out of a rock and rolled a large stone against it of the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene and the other Marys sitting opposite of the tomb. So we see that Mary was there to observe the crucifixion, and she realized what a great sacrifice that Jesus made on behalf of her, that she was being, her sins were being taken care of by Jesus on that cross. And in Mark 15, verse 44, Pilate marveled that he was already dead and summoned the centurion. He asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then they brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in linen and laid him in a tomb that had been hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and the Mary mother and Joseph observed where he was laid. And then in Mark 16:9, it says, just another page over. Now when he rose early in the morning, Jesus, on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom that he cast out seven demons. Let's go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, starting in verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb while it was still dark, and saw that the stone was taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, but the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And when he stooped down and looked in and saw the linen clothes laying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb and saw the linen clothes laying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but folded together in one place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in, and also he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went his way again to their homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. As she wept and stooped down to look into the tomb, she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing it being the gardener, and said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, that I might take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She then turned around and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go tell my brother and say to them, I have ascended to my Father, your Father, and to my God, your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Now in Matthew 8:10, it also tells us that the other women that came to the temple, to the tomb, saw Jesus on the way, and he said, "Rejoice." And he gave the same command to have them meet the brothers in Galilee. Jesus first revealed himself to a social outcast. Jesus deliberately waited until Peter, John, and even his own mother had left the garden area to bestow a formerly demon-possessed prostitute, saved by grace, the highest honor ever to be granted to any mortal. Why? Why was this first words ever spoken by Jesus after his resurrection were to Mary, and yet this was the last time she appears in sacred record? To highlight and underscore the truth that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, to remind us that if he can, Jesus, transform and save and commission a meek and weak girl named Mary, well then, there is hope for each one of us. And our closing song is 289, "The Savior is Waiting."